And turn to the book of Hosea. And I want to speak to you tonight out of the book of Hosea, and probably for the next few weeks. We looked at Obadiah, and I had every intention of going to Amos. And the Lord just directed me, go to the book of Hosea, and we'll work our way through the minor prophets. And so I want to do what the Lord directs me to do, and I really feel that that's the Lord's will. What do you know about the book of Hosea? What do you know about the book of Hosea? What do you know about Hosea himself? You know anything about Hosea, the prophet? Anything at all? You know anything about his prophecy? You remember when we talked about Obadiah, we said that Obadiah received kind of a different revelation. It was in a vision. And we kind of talked about the revelation, and then we talked about the interpretation, and then the application. And as we kind of navigate through the minor prophets, I feel at this point that that's what the Lord would have us to do with each one of these. It's not my intent to go verse by verse. I enjoy doing that. If that's my, I guess, where I'm most comfortable, I just like to go verse by verse. That's expository, just down and just read a verse and explain it, as God gave me wisdom on that matter, and keep going. But I think as we go through these minor prophets, it'll be a little different. We'll do a little bit more of an overview. And I want to help you to understand a little bit about the content of the book. And I think most of all, what I'd like to do, if God would help me, and I believe he will, is I want us to get the application. Because here's my fear. As we read through some of these Old Testament books, we'll think, well, what in the world is some prophet back in the 8th century prophesying have anything to do with us in America today? You know, you got a prophet prophesying to a nation, the nation of Israel, in the 8th century, and that's when Hosea was prophesying. And what does his prophecy have to do with anything, especially in this day in which we live in America? Well, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I want you to listen very carefully. And it's profitable. All right? And so it is profitable for me, it's profitable for you, it's profitable for us as believers to not only read the book of Hosea, but understand the interpretation of it, but also make personal application. Because these things were written for our ensamples. Isn't that what the Scripture said? It is. I want you to hold your place here, and I want to just take you somewhere, and then I've got some thoughts that I want to give to you. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter number 24. Would you go there, Luke chapter 24? Now, as you're finding yourself in your place in Luke 24 in the Scripture, you that have attended our Sunday night services, you'll remember that Pastor David is going through the Sermon on the Mount. And as he's in chapter 5, there is a statement that the Lord Jesus said. He said, I'm not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. And so you have to keep that in mind when you study the law and the prophets, that Jesus is a fulfillment of them embodied. And when we're reading Luke 24, and this is this scripture I'm going to read to you is just so far over my head. It's just what little bit I can grab hold of, it just absolutely fascinates me. So you know the account of the Lord Jesus on the road of Emmaus, the Emmaus Road journey, you know, and he's having this conversation, and he makes a statement that just, it's fascinating to me. And as I said, there's so much depth to it. Notice, if you would, in Luke 24, we'll begin our reading in verse number 25. And he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, I don't want to be one of them people. I don't want to be a fool and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I want to believe what the prophets have said, and I want to understand that they have relevance for my life. Amen. This is Jesus speaking. And he said, now don't you be a fool and don't you be slow of heart to believe, look at it now, all that the prophets have spoken. Let's read on. Ought not, verse 26, Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now look at this next verse. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, wouldn't you have liked to have been a part of that message? How would you like to have been in that conversation where Jesus began to open up the scriptures unto them? Some of these hidden treasures of the Old Testament, some of the things that are concealed in the Old Covenant that have been revealed in the New Covenant. The scripture says here that Jesus began to open up their minds to the truth of the word. Can I encourage you, when you study the scripture, ask God, God, open up my mind that I may see the wondrous things of thy word. Just teach me a truth. Give me a nugget. Give me something, Lord, of your word that will help me on my journey. Now we're going to go back to Hosea, and I want to give you a few things I hope will whet your appetite as we get into our study. What do you know about the book of Hosea? Well, I know this. I know Hosea is a prophet. And I know that Jesus wants us not to be slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And I believe that Jesus is the message in the book of Hosea if we'll just look close. Because he expounded unto those men on the road of Emmaus all the things of the scripture that pertained unto him. I believe Jesus on every page of this book right here. I just do. This book's about Jesus. And that's about some other things, but listen, at the end of the day, this book's about Jesus Christ. Really, when you get to thinking about it, really life's about Jesus. And when we make it about anything else, then we're missing it. We're missing it. So what about Hosea do we need to know? Well, first of all, I want to give you the revelation. Look, if you would, in Hosea chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beera. Okay? So here's this guy named Hosea. And this guy named Hosea, his name means salvation. When you look up the word Hosea, it means salvation. And so he's a prophet of God. And back in these days, instead of using predominantly or primarily dates and months to tell you about what the time or the era in which they were prophesying, they used who was ruling in that day, because they kind of measured their time periods by kings instead of by months and days. Now, they did use months and days, but predominantly they used kings. And so look, if you would, he said, the word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, and it was in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So we learn that there were these kings. Now, when you study the scripture, you'll find, and I'm just going to give you some highlights here, that there was King David, a man after God's own heart, and then there was his son Solomon, and then Solomon had a son named Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam, he made some very poor decisions, and it led to a civil war of sort which divided the kingdoms, to where there were two tribes which were known as the southern kingdom, and there were 10 tribes which were known as the northern kingdom. So they were a nation divided. And that's this time. I want you to notice that the word of God, the Holy Spirit wants us to know that when Hosea was prophesying, there was a great divide in the land. Look at it. So the word of the Lord came unto Hosea, and it was in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And look at this next one. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So you have this divided nation. And so there's just, you know, it's kind of like, I think it was Charles Dickens that said, you know, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times, right? I mean, they had a lot of good things that economically, socially, materially, Israel was doing good. Spiritually and morally, however, not good. Not good at all. And so that's what that the Holy Spirit wants us to know right up front. Now, let's look at the revelation here, because it's kind of a different thing. How did God want Hosea to get his message to the people? Now, because of the spiritual declension, and I want you to listen very carefully to this, because it's really going to go a long way. This is a hard book, okay? This book's got some hard stuff in it. And it's got some stuff that'll make you scratch your head. But when you begin to really, and I'm not saying I know it all. I don't know it all, Okay, I don't. There's some things in Hosea I'm still scratching my head about. But I'm learning, and I'm asking God to, you know, God, open my eyes that I can see. I want to see what the message of this book is. And I think I have the overall message, though I may not be able to walk you through every little minute detail. If we can get the overall message, that's a good place to start. And so we find where God is, he's got this man who's going to prophesy for him. His name means salvation. His name is Hosea. And he's prophesying in a day where there's a divided kingdom, and the people are in moral and spiritual declension, okay? They won't listen. They won't listen to God's word. They won't listen to God's man. They have cut God off. You know, like some people do when they come to church here. The preacher could be preaching. They'll be on a Facebook or some website somewhere. If you do that, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Not for my sake. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for God's sake. All God's done for you, and you can't pay attention to the preaching of God's word? Come on, man. What's wrong with us? Now, that's what's happening this day. And so God said, Hosea, he said, I have been speaking through my men and speaking through my men, and they won't listen. So I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to give them what's called an illustrative sermon. I want you to become an experiential sermon giver. I want you to be an action sermon. I want you to live out my message to my people. Now, God had done this before. I'm not going to turn to it for time, but God did it with Isaiah. Read Isaiah chapter number 20. Would you write that down? Go home. Don't read it while I'm preaching, but go home and read Isaiah 20. God told Isaiah to do some really strange things. He told him to strip down to his undergarments, to give the message of being like a POW, a prisoner in bondage, to get the message to the people. He did it with Jeremiah. He told him to build a yoke. I think it's Jeremiah 27 and 28. Look at it. He said, build a yoke. And he built a wood one, and it was broken off. And then he said, build a metal one. Build a steel one. I want my people to get the message. He did it with Ezekiel. He told Ezekiel to cut his hair a certain way to get a message out. He told him to lay on one side, his left side for so many days, and then his right side for so many days, to give an illustrative message. And so some of the prophets, some of the things that they did was not necessarily just spoken. Most of them were. Some of them were in visions, like we've seen from Obadiah, Habakkuk. There were others. And then some of them were this way. Now, what's God doing here? Don't you miss this now. Hosea is kind of different this way. God's saying, Hosea, I don't want you to tell it, my message. I want you to experience it. I want you to live it. I want you to preach an action sermon. I want people to see what I'm saying. Because I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it. And they're not listening. They're not listening. And so I want them to see it. And he said, I want you to feel it. Because when you feel it, you'll tell it different. Is that right, brethren? When it's you going through it, well, I tell you, you talking about a prayer request getting real? Amen? You know what I'm saying. When you're telling it for someone else, I'm not saying you don't care, your heart's in it, but when it's you, things pick up. And so the revelation is that type of sermon. He said, here's what I want you to do. Look at verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. Did you get that? Hosea's going to be the one that's going to play this thing out. And it says in verse number 2, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. He said, I want you to play out this scenario. And he said, I want you to go take unto you, in verse number 2, a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. And they say, why in the world would God tell a man to do that? Well, God has a purpose. As a matter of fact, if you look at the very next phrase, he'll tell you why. He said, for. He said, this is why I want you to do it. He said, for, in verse number 2, the land hath committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord. He said, I want you to feel what I'm feeling. I want you to feel what I'm feeling. I want you to feel what it's like when you love people with all of your heart, when you provide for people, when you speak to people, when you protect people, when you're there for people, and yet they don't give you the time of day. They won't even listen when a man's preaching the word. They won't even follow along in their Bible when a man's given the prophecy. Does that sound familiar?
Amen.
And so he said, I want you to experience it. And I want you to live it, and I want them to see it. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Now, there are some people who have said this. They say, well, you know, that's an allegory. Really? Look at verse number 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibling, which conceived and bare him a son. That doesn't sound like an allegory. Sounds like a real woman who had a father and, Hosea picked her out. But you see, I believe God picked her out. Now, this is not my message tonight, but I do want you to get this. We're on Revelation right now. And I got to get through this because I want to get to application, and I'll not be able to make it all tonight, but I want to give you the gist of the application of this book. You say, why would God tell a man, a prophet, to go marry a woman of whoredoms and have children of whoredoms? Well, I've read a lot. I've prayed about this. I've thought about it. I'm not sure of exactly what's taking place here. Was this woman a woman of sexual whoredoms? Was she a prostitute? Some say she was. The Bible never says that. You know, you can go whoring after things that are not sexual. Some people live a whorish lifestyle, and it's not just sexual. It's low. It's impure. There's a leniency to things. There's an openness to things that there shouldn't be. Perhaps she wasn't that way, or perhaps she was like Rahab. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. You know, the Bible continually refers to Rahab the harlot, even after she came to Christ. Maybe this was a woman who had been that way, and now she had kind of began to walk another way. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe she wasn't that way and became that way, and God knew she was going to be that way, and because she was going to become that way, he led Hosea to her so that he could preach his message of experience the way that the people had done him, meaning the people of God had done God. And so before we just kind of, sometimes we just got this one-track mind and we just think, you know what, it was this way. Well, you know, if the Bible doesn't say, you have to be careful with that stuff. You have to be careful. Is that right, church? You can't just say, well, I read a book one time that said that. Well, if this book didn't say it, I don't know if I'd take it to the bank. Search it out. I will tell you this. Gomer, I believe I'd have had suspicion right there. I'm just carrying on. I want you to go marry Gomer. I don't know, man. Now, just as sure as I get myself in trouble, I stick my foot in my mouth. Somebody here has got the middle name Gomer, haven't you? If you have, I'm not making fun of that name. I'm not. I'm not. But I got to tell you, if I was picking a name for my wife, I would, you know, if she had a middle name, I'd probably go by whatever her middle name is. But anyway, he said in verse number 3, he went and took Gomer. You know what the word Gomer means? Is there anybody here who knows the word Gomer means? I didn't know. So I did what people ought to do. I searched and found out. It means completeness. I find that very interesting. Completeness. This one was anything but complete. So he went and he gets this wife. Now I'm giving you that the interpretation now. Got this prophet of Israel. Israel's in bad state. God said, I want you to live this out. I want you to go find you a woman who is either not been a very chaste woman, a very pure woman, or who either is not a very chaste woman, or who either will not be a very chaste woman. And we'll get to what I feel about that later, but not now. Okay? So he goes and he gets her. He does what God says. And then the scripture says that when they come together, in verse number 3, that she conceives and she bears him a son. Now, I find this very interesting. I want you to underline that, him. She bears him. Would you underline that? You say, I don't write in my Bible. Well, just write in your mind, okay? Because you have to remember what God said here in verse number 2. Not only is it a wife of whoredoms, but it's children of whoredoms. Is that what the scripture said in verse number 2? Is that it, church? We're looking at interpretation. So he takes this woman, Hosea, this prophet, this man of God, he takes this woman who is either known by her loose lifestyle or who is actually living this loose lifestyle. And you can just imagine what people think if your preacher had a wife who was a floozy. You know, I'm just trying to bring it up to date. And she was just a big flirt. And she was just easy. You would think, what in the world, man? What's going on? Am I right? I mean, nobody wants that. Could you imagine the way the people were talking? What's wrong with the prophet of God? This man says he's a prophet of God. He's married to Gomer. Everybody knows about Gomer. Well, at least all the men do. What's going on here? I think God's got the people's attention now. See, God couldn't get their attention. They wouldn't even listen to what he said. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. As a matter of fact, I think it's over in chapter number 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 6 of chapter 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And they don't listen. Right? They won't listen. My prophets are preaching. They're prophesying. I'm giving them signs. There's miracles. I'm trying to get my people's attention to let them know I want to bless you. I have a covenant with you. But if you don't listen to me and do what I say, hey, there are troubled days ahead. Troubles on the horizon. Bad times are coming. But God said, before I unleash that, I want to give one more opportunity to get your attention. And so he tells his preacher, he said, I want you to marry this woman, a woman of whoredoms, and a children of whoredoms. I think he's got the people's attention. I really do. Because you know how people talk. People talk. Man, have you heard about Hosea? Hosea's done gone down there and man, in the district and then picked up Gomer. But if it wasn't that or it wasn't about, might have been, you know what? He must have a lot of confidence that she's not going back to that. I mean, she came out of it. Whatever it was, the people were talking. God had their attention. And the scripture says there is an indication here. I can't say positively, but in verse number 3, there's an indication that almost immediately in verse number 3, when he took Gomer as his wife, she conceived and bare him a son. So they have this son. Now look at verse number 4. The Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. I do not have time to go into this. We will go into this. What a message that God's given here. You know where Jezreel is? Jezreel's the area that Ahab and Jezebel lived in. Okay? And there was this king named Jehu that God anointed. He said, I want you to go and I want you to wipe that crowd out. Okay? And he said, but now, he gave him some specific instructions. He did not follow them the way God told him to. And so he said, I want you in verse number 4, he said, I want you to call his name Jezreel. Now the name Jezreel means to sow or to scatter. Don't forget that. We'll come back to that. And I'm just going to get to the interpretation tonight, but that's okay. If we get that, we'll be fine. I want you to understand what this book's about. So then, after they have Jezreel, look at verse number 6, she conceived again and bare a daughter. Do you see anything different there than you do in verse number 3? What's the difference? Somebody tell me the difference. Yeah, she didn't bear him a daughter. She just bare a daughter. She bared him a son in verse 3. Now listen, God doesn't waste words. There's a reason why God does everything he does. And the sooner we learn that, the better our life will be. Don't you ever think, well, you know what? That's not a piece of the puzzle. God is sovereign. God is providential. Everything that God is involved in is for a purpose. And so the scripture says in verse number 6, she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. Now, the word lo means no or not. And when you put it in front of a name, it means no, whatever. And what does this one mean? Look what it says here. He said in verse number 7, or verse number 6, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. God said, no mercy. Now, I'm going to tell you, if your preacher says no mercy, well, you know. If your neighbor says no mercy, if your spouse says no mercy, well, you need to get concerned. But when God says no mercy, I'm telling you right now, you need to start quaking. You're in a bad place. That's a bad place. And so God now has got the people's attention. You got this preacher man running around with this woman whose character's at the very least suspect. And they have this son named Jezreel, which gets everyone's attention because they're Israelites and they have a little bit of a history of what took place with Ahab and Jezebel and Jehu. And they know that the name Jezreel means God sows or God scatters, which, like the chaff, sin always scatters, by the way. And so now they're thinking, they're not just thinking about Hosea marrying Gomer and her situation, but they have this child almost immediately, and it means God sows, God scatters. God's getting ready to do something, and now they're really thinking. But then she comes up pregnant again, and they have this child, and so they got this child running around with a name like No Mercy, No Pity. That's what it means. No pity. God's getting ready to scatter, and there's going to be no pity. I think the people are listening now. I think God's method's working. Can I tell you, God's method always works? God's going to get your attention one way or another, brother. He is. Now, I'm going to close with this tonight. There is a great message in this book. Hosea has been called the prophet of love. You say, what? Oh, listen, when we get into this application, I was sitting at my desk today, like, I just got overwhelmed. How much God loves me. How much God loves us, brethren. If we could just get a hold of this. God is doing this. When you first start reading this, you think, man, he's going to punish them. But God doesn't want to punish them. God wants to reclaim them. God loves them so much. And he's telling his prophet, he said, I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to feel what it is. Look over in verse number 2, or chapter number 2, just for a moment. In chapter number 2, verse number 5 says, for their mother, meaning Gomer, hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that gave me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, mine oil, and my drink. Do you see that? Look at verse number 7. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Aren't you glad God does that? Listen, when God is moving. You know who Hosea is a picture of in this prophecy? God. God. You know who Gomer's a picture of? You. Me. You and me who are unfaithful to God and who run out and do things and leave our God and leave only to get out there and realize this is the worst I've ever had it. I had it good when I was with God. I had it good when I was with God, when I was walking with God and I was in fellowship and I was with him and under his wing. I had it good then. This is not like I thought it was going to be. Can I tell you? It never is. It never is. The devil will always tell you it's better on the other side. He'll always tell you that it's better away from God and doing your own thing. But he's a liar. And when we get out there, we find out, you know what? Would to God I wouldn't have left and would stay there where God put me. That's what's happening here. But I want you to watch what happens here. This is how much God, he's getting Hosea to see his love so that he can adequately give the message. You know, the Bible teaches this in 2 Corinthians. It does in chapter 1. God will allow me to go through things so I can minister to other people. That's exactly what's happening here. So that the tribulation, the trials that I go through, I can see God as the God of comfort, and I can, with that, comfort other people. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's there, brethren. See, if we go through trials and all we see as a trial is, oh, you know, I feel terrible and I hate this and I just want to get out of this. It's not why. We need to be asking, God, what do you want to teach me so I can teach someone else? Most of the time, that's what trials are about. Teach me something so that when I come through this, I can be a better instrument in your hands to teach others. So, look at verse number 8. For she did not know. Chapter 2, verse 8. So here's this woman. She's done left, and we'll get to that. I've got a little ahead of myself, but I want you to see this. She's done left. She's gone after her lovers. She's had one child that she had with Hosea. Now she's had one out of a relationship, an illegitimate, out of relationship with one of her lovers. She didn't bear it unto him. She bear it to one of her lovers. And so that's why it means no mercy, lo, which means no. And then she said, I'm going to go after my lovers, and they're going to fulfill all of my needs. And they didn't do anything for her. They only made her realize in verse number 7, the latter part of it, I think I'm going to return. It was better with me than now. Now look at verse 8 of chapter 2. For she did not know that I was the one who gave her the corn and the wine and the oil. She thought those lovers were the one doing it. But it was me. It was me. God was, listen, Hosea was looking out after her even when she was out there running around with the others. But I tell you right now, when you get to think about that, and you know where I'm going here. There's been times that I've been doing stuff that I shouldn't have done. But you know, can I tell you, God was watching over me. God was watching over me. And he was you too. And here she was. Here she was in a place she shouldn't have been, doing things she shouldn't have been doing. And she thought they were the ones providing it. And he said in verse number 8, she didn't know. You know, I've been there. I didn't know. Listen, I didn't know that it was God doing it for me. I do now, though. In hindsight, I look back and I say, that was God. That was God. I couldn't see it when I was. Sometimes, you know, you're just so close or you're just so blind to the thing. But when God brings you through it and you get on the backside of it, you look and you say, that was God doing that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's what this book's about. It's about love. It's about God seeking us. It's about God purchasing us. He sought her and he bought her. We'll see that as we look at this. I want to close with this. Let's go back to chapter 1 and I'll close. So you have Hosea. And God said, I want you to preach this action sermon. I want you to live it. It's going to be an experiential sermon. I want people to look at it and I want them to see the message in your life. That says a lot about Hosea. He said, yes, sir. I'll do it. And so he took Gomer, who means complete, which means that God sees us for what we can be instead of what we are. That's right. As we shall see when we complete our study. And then she bears him a son that is Jezreel, which means God's getting ready to scatter. And so the people are looking and they're saying, oh, there's something going on here. And then out of a impure relationship, an extramarital relationship, she has a second child, which is a girl, and it's in verse number 6 and 7, it's, I will have no mercy upon the house of Israel, but will utterly take them away. And then in verse number 8, now when she had weaned Loruamah, she conceived and bare a son. Again, it's not him a son, it's just bare a son. You see that in verse number 8? Do you? She's spiraling out of control. She no more got this child weaned. The Spirit of God wants us to know this. She no more, look at the wording of it in verse number 8. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. She's spiraling out of control. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. I'm glad for the first word of chapter 9. Yet. Which means there's more to come. And you believe me when I tell you, there's more to come in this book. The book of Hosea may be one of the most overlooked books in all the Bible, especially the minor prophets. But as I've committed some time to study again, some time ago I preached through the minor prophets. It's been several years ago. It might not even have been here. It might have been in a former church. But as I went back and I began to look at this book of Hosea, I said, my goodness, I haven't spent enough time here. There's some great messages here. But you go home and read the book. You say, well, preacher, I'm being told to read Psalm 73. I'm being told to read the Sermon on the Mount. I've got my own Bible reading. You know, my goodness, we're going to be reading the Bible from sun up to sundown. What's wrong with that? I know you only have so much time for reading. Would you read at least the first three chapters? Chapter 3 has only got like 5 or 6 verses. We'll come back next Wednesday and we'll pick up there. I'm glad God always has a yet. Yet. God was very frustrated with his people. He was. They wasn't listening. He had to get their attention. I think he had their attention. He had a great message for them. He did. The small message was, judgment's coming. The big message was, I love you. I love you. I never started loving you, and I'll never stop loving you. I love you with an everlasting love. Everlasting love never starts, never stops. Could you please get a hold of that? There's never been a time when God didn't love you. He loves you. You say, well, I'm going through some things. He loves you. He'll love you right through it. He'll love you right through it. Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer.